is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the weekly news magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Outloud here. Well, listen, there's a, let's call it a 1-2-3 prong attack to destroy America. And I'm speaking about the COVID virus, the election, and the January 6th at the Capitol. Now, this is quite something when you look at any of these events individually, but when you stack them up together, it becomes quite a story as to what's going on in our republic right now. On the program today, we'll have U.S. Army Colonel Lawrence Sellin will be here to talk more about some of this. It's quite fascinating with him. He was a research physiologist at the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases. He has a lot to say about it. Served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He'll talk about COVID, China. Has a lot of information. I'm looking forward to diving into that with him. Also, General Tom McInerney will be here, and we will talk more about the elections, what's happening there, information he has. He is absolutely convinced that this thing was indeed a stolen election. You see this latest story about the vaccines causing heart inflammation in the kids and young adults. That's another big deal. Dr. McCullough will be here as well. So lots to talk about in the next hour on Viewpoint, and I'd like to start right here at the top and talk about the election for the Arizona audit, specifically, that's coming out here. And pleased to bring on for the first time on the program here, Bernie Kurik joins us. He's the 40th police commissioner of the New York City Police Department. Everybody knows that about Bernie. He's a New York Times bestselling author. So let's start here. I seen a piece that was sent to me that you did on the War Room, which is Bannon's program. And you made the comment, the next 3 to 4 weeks will be explosive, is the words you used, will vindicate everything we've been saying, that the election was stolen. Let's start there. And this refers to the Arizona audits. And then, of course, you got Georgia after that. But put that in context for us, if you would, please.
Well, I think there's a couple things. First of all, I was actually in Arizona. I got back yesterday morning. Over the prior 24 hours, I went out to Arizona to the Coliseum in Phoenix with Vernon Jones, who is running for governor of the state of Georgia. We went to look at the process of the forensic audit. And I must say, as somebody that's been in this process from November 5th going forward, I ran the investigative side of the house for the legal team, Mayor Giuliani's legal team, for the president's campaign, looking at the election. And as somebody that's been involved in the process since then, I have to tell you, I was stunned, pleasantly surprised, and excited. Actually, about what I saw in Arizona. You know, everybody's talked about a recount. You know, Arizona needed a recount. Georgia needs a recount. Anywhere there were irregularities, people have called for recounts. But the reality is a recount is basically a recount of whatever ballots you had, corrupted or otherwise. So recounts don't really help you. What you need is a forensic audit. And when I walked into the Coliseum and got to see first and foremost, the security of the Coliseum, but the way you were allowed to get in, the way the security within the Coliseum, the way the Coliseum is laid out, the counting of the ballots, the imagery of the ballots, how they take them and they copy them, they take a visual of them. They look at the ink, they look at the paper, they look at the markings, they look at the coding. There's a whole bunch of things that they're looking at. And at the end of this process, they tabulate, first and foremost, what the real ballots are versus not real. What was pre-done prior to the timing of the election, what ballots came from where. All of this stuff will be laid out in that forensic audit. And I'm confident that that report is going to demonstrate severe irregularities in what went on in Arizona. At the same time, you have a few lawsuits going on in Georgia, one of which is extremely substantial because it's in Fulton County. And the lawyer involved in those lawsuits is in the process right now, as we speak, of actually deposing some of the key players that we were aware of that was involved in criminal conduct in the Georgia election. And those depositions are going on now and next week. And I'm confident, as I said, as I told Steve Bannon, you're going to be extremely surprised. I think there's going to be some explosive revelations that comes out of Georgia. But I think you're going to see it in Arizona as well. And keep in mind, you needed 270 to become president. If you take away Arizona, if you took those numbers away from Arizona and Georgia, he's going under 270, I think. If not, then you need one more. And I think Pennsylvania, I think Michigan, I think Nevada, Wisconsin, I think every one of these states, every one of these swing states where they've had problems, they should all be looking at the process that's going on right now in Arizona, because it's unrefutable, it's uncorruptible, it's accurate, it has integrity, it has accountability, and it's impossible to cheat the way they've laid out this audit process. So I think every one of these states should be looking. And I know a bunch of the states have already gone out there to look at this process. I know Eric Greitens, who's running for U.S. Senate out in Missouri, he's going tomorrow morning. I think it's absolutely necessary that everybody sees what's going on. And if we have irregularities in the future, this is the way they should be handled.
Yeah, doesn't this explain why in Maricopa County they have been trying every which way to Sunday to fight that legally? Correct?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I had a number of conversations yesterday and today with a number of people that's been interested in this process. And I think it's a two-prong battle that the Democrats have. First and foremost, they've done everything in their power to stop it. You know, basically, because they don't want to see the outcome. They don't want to see the results. They know what the results are. But I think more importantly, if the Democrats in Maricopa and the Democrats in Arizona, if they've walked through this process and they saw what I saw, they also know that there's no way to get around it, that there's absolutely no way to get around it. They can't say there was cheating. You know, think of this. Think of a casino floor. Think of a casino floor and where they have pit bosses and every table has a camera on top and cameras on the side, and you can see everything and anything going on in that casino. That's how this place is laid out. So you have all this stuff going on, and everything is documented. Yeah. So the Democrats can't come back and say they cheated.
You know, you can hear, Commissioner Kirk, in your voice how convincing you, and you haven't said this before, you actually seen it with your own eyes. You would have never made this declarative statement that you just made, would you have?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know the process.
All right, let's talk about the opposition here. They're going to pull out everything they can. They've already done that. There's been a steady beat here of, you know, this election business and Trump himself. You know, a lot of people say, Commissioner, that, well, you know, it'll be a constitutional crisis. And I've had that said to me before. If this happens with an election of this nature where you have a president that's already been installed into office. And my answer back to them is, well, it would be a constitutional crisis if we don't get to the real truth. And we're in one right now. That's my sense. You agree with that?
Yeah, I have to tell you, you know, I pretty much agree with what you're saying. And for this reason, the election of 2020 was stolen. I am 1,000% positive based on what I've seen, based on the thousands of depositions and affidavits that we collected in the legal team, based on the evidence that we saw. I know that the election was stolen, but what scares me to death, and the thing that many conservatives, many Republicans don't want to hear, is Joe Biden is sitting in the White House today, not because the Democrats stole the election, but because the Republican legislators didn't do the job they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You have Republicans that certified state votes, that certified their elections in their states when they knew there were irregularities and they knew there were questions that had to be answered.
Commissioner, why did they do that? Because I reported on that when that was happening in real time. Why did these because we talked about this, the Republican legislatures in the states had control. They could have changed the trajectory of this thing, but they failed to do this. Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a few reasons, but the one that scares me the most is that, and I hate even saying this because it makes the party look like it makes them look ridiculous. The one that scares me the most is many of the Republican legislatures in those states, they had no idea what their jobs were. They had no idea what their constitutional authority and power was. Hmm. They just didn't have any idea. And it was we had the burden. Giuliani and Jenna Ellis had the burden of sitting with them and basically walking them through the Constitution to explain what their power was. Hmm. And many of them just did not know. Then you have, so that's one element. Hmm. On the other element is many of them just wanted it over. And I have to believe, and I do believe, I know this for a fact, many of them were anti-Trumpers. Many of them wanted the president gone. Many of them didn't believe, you know, they just thought, you know what, it's get it over now, get him out of here, get him on his way. We can have things back to normal. We'll deal with this for 4 years and then we'll move on and we'll take the White House in 2024 or whatever the case may be. But it's outrageous.
Yeah.
And I think personally for those people, I think it's criminal because they are sworn to the Constitution to do a job that they should have done. And they didn't. They certified those elections when they were inaccurate and they were false.
Yeah. We're coming to an unprecedented moment in our history. I mean, I think we all feel, Commissioner, something isn't, we know something's not right. I mean, every American knows this. I believe it. What you just described there, and if this tipping point happens in the way that it happens, we're talking about a story of a lifetime here. I mean, we're talking about a stolen election, and we're talking about a massive conspiracy to bring down a sitting president. And this is not something to take lightly, is it? This is going to be a challenge for this country, is it not?
It is, and it's going to be a challenge that I think a lot of people don't understand or realize. You know, keep in mind, there's never been a circumstance where we've gone through this process at this level before. So if Georgia and Arizona, and let's say Pennsylvania or Michigan or whatever the case may be, if Joe Biden gets knocked down under 270, what happens? I mean, what really happens is, you know, do you need the courts to resolve that? The Electoral College has done its job at this point. What really happens? The problem is nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going to happen, how it would work, what the process would be to figure that out. But here's the bottom line. To me, especially as I said, somebody that's been in this from the beginning, to me, I don't care about that right now. This isn't about overthrowing an election. This is about figuring out what happened, how it happened, who did it, and holding them accountable to make sure that it doesn't happen in 2022, 2024, or ever again.
Yeah, so we have no way of what's really going to happen. And by the way, looking at the numbers right now, Commissioner, Biden had 306. Trump had 232, according to the final numbers here in the Electoral College results, okay? And if you look at the numbers here, by the way, Arizona is 11 electoral votes here. Georgia is 16, so that would 26. That would be 27. And that would not take them down below 270. You would need that other state, which you were commenting on or guessing on. Right. So there's your numbers right there, sir.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, we'll see where it goes. But if I was, I'll tell you this, especially Michigan, if I was the GOP in Michigan, I would be studying Arizona. I'd be looking at the forensic audit, and I would have started already, because Michigan, we know in Antrim County, Michigan, because that was our lawsuit. That was one of the lawsuits we were involved in. We know those votes were Trump votes that went to Biden. That's already been proven. So if I was Michigan, I'd be jumping all over this forensic audit. I'd bring in the same team, and I'd do the same thing they're doing in Arizona to prove the fraud.
Yeah, yeah. Well, without a doubt, Michigan would be a state to do that, and Pennsylvania would be as well. The improprieties there were incredible. And we're not just talking one thing here either, Commissioner. I mean, we're talking 10 ways of how to steal an election. it really was a multi-pronged attack, though, on the nation. It wasn't just one thing, you know. It was everything.
I think, and I've tried to explain this to people, everybody was jumping all over the Dominion machines.
Right.
Well, that was only one element. Right. The machines are one element of the problem here. Mm-hmm. You know, in Pittsburgh, for example, you had 350 to 380,000 ballots went through the system between 1 and 5 in the morning. In Philadelphia, you had about 130 to 150. Mm-hmm. You had thousands of dead people. You have thousands of voters that were, you know, not registered or placed, I forget what they call it when they haven't voted in years, inactive, mm-hmm. that were made active. And then their residents come up and, pop up all in the same 2-block area. There are thousands of them. So this is the kind of stuff that was going on. And, as you mentioned earlier, I would agree. And I would say, and I said this last week, Donald Trump won by a landslide. He just didn't win this election. He won by a landslide, and it was stolen from him.
Yeah. And, you hear the words you say there, Commissioner, and, I think it has to really think about this, people. It's got to restore some faith in people in our republic to know that, I always wondered after that election, Commissioner, like, would the American people really give the keys to the car to a man who it was in the condition and position that Joe Biden was? Not only with his relationships with China and all of that, but his health and his well-being, the way they were in the campaign. Now, there are so many reasons why a man like that could never win an election on any level, let alone the presidency. That itself, it tainted the whole thing to me. And here we are right here now. So very interesting. Yeah. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens with this for sure. We're in some uncharted waters. Like you just said, we've never been down this road. So we can't sit here and conclusively say, well, if we look at history, that's what will happen.
Because that's right.
History's never happened on this thing. So that's the way it is.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So, all right. Let me talk to you now. This was quite something. I don't know if everybody heard this story out there, but you heard President Trump replied back to this was the comment on Biden, Joe Biden. And it really is a very strange photo op when you see Biden in front of the troops, because, it's a facade that just doesn't match. It just doesn't work for whatever it is. There's nothing patriotic about a Joe Biden that would get somebody truly excited about our military. He said to the folks that it's not a joke, he says, the greatest threat facing America is global warming. And I heard him say it, of course, myself. And of course, then the President Trump came out and commented, because he said the Joint Chiefs of Staff made the comment and they agree with Biden that he was relaying their message. Trump says they should be fired if they think climate change is America's greatest threat. By golly, we have scientists on our platform. We have some of the best minds when it comes to climate change and the scam that it is. So our listeners are well informed on this scam. What do you make of that story with Biden, Trump's kickback on it, and what they're using climate change to really change the structure of our energy independence and the way our nation is being run?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I can't personally, and this is me personally, I can't stomach watching him. Period. And to stand there and watch him address the troops, there's no way the men and women in our military are that stupid that they would stand behind him and agree with some of the statements he has made. The Joint Chiefs, listen, given some of the things I've seen over the last 2 or 3 years, I honestly believe that our senior executives in the military today are way, way too political, shouldn't be making any kind of statements like that, or I don't know. It's just disappointing. For me, it's disappointing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people would feel the sentiments of what you say there, and having a hard time with it in a lot of ways.
I've been around President Trump when he's talked to the troops, or he talked to a bunch of cops, and I can tell you, if he jumped off the stage and said charge, they start running right behind him. They don't even know where he's going, but they're going to follow. That's the way he led.
I can't disagree with you. I mean, that's what you call leadership. And he provided leadership to the ranks. And you know, the one thing Trump brought to the game here, Commissioner, is patriotism. He reminded America, really Americans, what it was. He made it cool again to be a patriot. You know what I mean? You know, he really
that's
did.
Right. That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah. For those of us to stand, we, you know, in our business, we stand for the flag. And not only do we stand for the flag, brother, but we get goosebumps. You see?
That's right.
Know? Yep, better believe it. Better believe it, brother. There's nothing like it. And we absolutely support that for sure. Let's talk about the state of law enforcement in our country. By golly, I mean, you look at a lot of the states, crime is rising. I mean, we're seeing record numbers. I mean, listen, I've been talking about the urban cities and the plight of America's cities. You know, one of my biggest complaints actually through the Trump administration even is, you know, I love the concept of Make America Great Again and the MAGA movement. But quite frankly, as you see the destruction of our great cities, you can't have a great America without great cities. It just does not, the two do not connect. And the problem is our cities have been in decline, Commissioner, for some time. Now we're seeing the escalation of crime and this whole ridiculous notion of defunding police, which is, I mean, it's the, you can't even put it into context, the information in this message that's being drumbeat out there to people. And of course, all your criminals are coming out. They love the cut. Yeah, let's defund the police. Well, of course, that's what they do, man. And right. So they're loving it, of course. So give us a scope, because we have a lot of great law enforcement people here on our platform. But talk to me about the state of law enforcement. How serious of a problem are we in, and what's the fix?
Well, we're probably at a point where we have the most violent crime, shootings, and murder numbers in some of these cities in decades, okay? And I've had the honor and the privilege to work for Rudy Giuliani during basically the renaissance of New York City as police commissioner for the New York City Police Department. And I was the commissioner, I don't know if you know this, I actually ran Rikers Island for 6 years under Mayor Giuliani. So I walked out the door with the mayor on January 1st, 2002, and we left with a 65% reduction in violent crime, a 70% reduction in murder, and in the Black communities where the murder rate was the highest, the violent crime is the highest, that murder rate dropped by close to 80%. Now, that's unparalleled. No, it's never been done prior to Giuliani, hasn't been done since. But when you think about what's going on in this country today, and you think about all the cities that have these major problems, Atlanta, Baltimore, Detroit, you know, Chicago, Minneapolis, every single one of those cities are run by Democrats. And every single one of those cities, those Democrats and the city council members, the mayor, city council, they stand up and they're yelling about socioeconomic issues, and we need better schools, and we need better jobs, and we need more jobs. I've got news for all of them. You're not getting it. It's never going to happen. And here's why. Nobody wants to visit, live, work, or go to school in a place where they're not safe. Nobody's going to put an Apple flagship store on the south side of Chicago when, after 5 o'clock at night, there are gun battles on the streets, on those streets, that would make Baghdad look like Disneyland. That's not happening. So you're not getting new jobs. You're not getting more jobs. You're not getting better schools. You're not getting any of that stuff until you clean up crime, until the violent crime and the murder rates drop. None of that stuff's going to happen. And the Democrats just don't get it. They don't understand that. When Rudy Giuliani came into New York City in 1994, we were averaging 2,200 murders. That's more murders than today in Atlanta, LA, Chicago, and let's say Baltimore combined. That's more murders than all those cities combined. And guess what? We had the lowest economic income. We had the lowest real estate values. We had the lowest tourism. But for every percentage point we dropped violent crime and murder, I could show you increases in the real estate values, increases in tourism, increases in economic development, and decreases in the welfare rolls because there were plenty of jobs to go around. That's what has to happen. They need new leadership. They need new prosecutors that's going to prosecute criminals for criminal conduct. They need mayors and governors that's going to put out laws that hold people accountable and stop this crazy lunacy with this bail reform stuff where you're letting people out of prison or letting them out of jail, or you're not even locking them up in the first place for violent crime.
Yeah. Well, they've incentivized the criminal element of society now, haven't they? You know,
they've emboldened.
Right. They've emboldened.
That's exactly what they do.
You better believe they have. Listen, Commissioner Kirk, you're just terrific to have on here, and we so appreciate you taking the time to stop by here and be here on Viewpoint this Sunday in America Out Loud. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Thank you. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
We have to continue the fight here for sure, and that's what we're doing back at America Out Loud. We need you to get there and share the out loud truth out there from sea to shining sea, my friends, for sure. Now, listen. I got it coming up next year. Very interesting. Colonel Lawrence Sellin will join us. General Tom McInerney. We'll take a pause here and just stay with us here. We've got a lot of program. And then Dr. Peter McCullough will be on as well. So we'll be back in just a moment with more Viewpoint this Sunday.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Up next on Viewpoint this Sunday, we're going to talk about this really 1-2-3-prong attack to destroy America. What you're going to hear next is a very powerful testimony, an excerpt. This is a must listen. U.S. Army Colonel Lawrence Sellin will join us, and he previously worked as a research physiologist at the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, served in Iraq, Afghanistan, and is a very decorated officer. He is probably the most informed that I have run into thus far on this program of Wuhan I'm speaking about. And a lot of it's because of its background and the work he's done. You'll want to listen to him carefully. And then also General Tom McInerney, retired United States Air Force Lieutenant General, been on the front lines of these. We love talking to General McInerney. He's been on previously with us. He'll be in here as well. What I want to tell you about is this now. What you're going to hear next is very important, but more than that, you're going to get just a glimpse of the major production we did. I sat down for a two-hour bonanza, a very deep dive in all these areas. And you'll hear that on Monday on The Voice of the Nation, 5 p.m. to 7 Eastern Time now on America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's an encore at 10 to 12. You can catch us anywhere in the world, actually. iHeartRadio, get us on the media player, our apps on Apple, Android, Alexa, any of those areas and many other networks we're on. You definitely got to tune in Monday. I want you to hear this whole two-hour deal on Monday. Make sure you tell your friends, family to listen in. I promise you, this will be a very shocking program. You will learn some things you simply did not know. I want you to listen in next now to this program here, and I'll join you on the other side.
When we think of biological warfare, we often think of something like nuclear warfare, where you drop a germ bomb and kill most of the planet. Well, it doesn't work like that, actually. China has a much more sophisticated biological warfare program where they develop what one could describe as destabilizing or debilitating or economic biological warfare agents. And COVID-19 is actually an example of that, something that is highly contagious, but fairly low in lethality. And one of the most important components or elements of that type of biological warfare agent is what we call plausible deniability, that you can say, well, it wasn't a biological agent, it actually just came from nature. And if you look at the structure of the COVID-19 virus, scientists have shown that it has been back engineered to make it look like it came from nature. So this is really, in many respects, the ideal type of a biological agent that you could use to destabilize or economically affect a country. So
let me ask you this: yeah. What you're talking about right now is good. It's this. I think what I would refer to what you're speaking about is the smoking gun. And I'm starting to hear that a little bit. Now, in other words, the evidence doesn't lie. And as you just look and you talked about the sequence within that coronavirus itself here, it's very clear that this was, as you say, all orchestrated, and they knew what they wanted to do with it. So that's no longer in question, is it?
No, it isn't at all. In fact, you only need to look at the structure of the virus itself to conclude that this was didn't come from nature. I'll mention two things. One is it looked like it was pre-adapted for human infection. Wow. There was the first SARS outbreak was in 2002 and 2004 in China, but the COVID-19, in terms of infectivity, transmission between people, is about 10 to 15 times more infective in humans. And it didn't mutate in the same way you would expect it to if it had come from nature and gradually adapted to human infection. So that's one thing. The second thing, which I consider the smoking gun, is a very small structure in the virus, which is called a furine cleavage site. Now, the issue is that if you look at up to 1,000 different bad coronaviruses that COVID-19 could have evolved from, none of them have that type of structure in that type of location. So it had to be inserted into the virus. And we know that for 20 years now, that if you insert this type of furine cleavage site, you can increase infectivity, increase transmissibility, and increase lethality by doing that. And we also know that People's Liberation Army scientists are capable of inserting that type of structure using genetic engineering. In fact, they did so in 2013. So the structure itself is crystal clear that this could not have evolved from nature. And the final point is, we've been in this 18 months now, and the people who believe that it came from nature have provided absolutely no evidence whatsoever. So the preponderance of evidence is on the side of a laboratory origin.
Where else is this information that you just discussed? Who knows this? Do the players in D.C. know? I mean, do we all know this at this point?
No, we all know this. There's no question about that. This information is publicly available. It has been publicly available for a very long time.
So why are they still denying it?
Well, I'll tell you, I think you're raising a very important point, Malcolm, here, is I can tell you that from the very beginning, the end of January of last year, the beginning of February last year, and this is very early in the pandemic when really no one knew where this virus had come from. There were people in the U.S. government working with some U.S. scientists who happened to have a vested interest in the outcome. In other words, they could be considered culpable for contributing to the creation of COVID-19. Well, during the last week of January and the first week of February, they decided they were going to cover this up. And it's in emails that have been published, on the internet. So anyone could read these emails, and they say in these emails, well, you know, we have to treat this as a conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. Now, the scientists who were involved, who were cherry picked by some people in the U.S. government, as I said, have a vested interest. They have been involved in what is called gain of function research. In other words, taking an ordinary virus from nature and enhancing it such that it could infect humans. So also, you know, Anthony Fauci was involved in these early days of this cover up, and it went on. They published things in the scientific literature, so you can consider the scientific literature politically contaminated. They've had the media behind them, and so this cover up has continued more or less until the last perhaps month or so.
How concerned do we be for the future with which? How do we learn from this, and how do we protect ourselves moving forward? Is what I'm asking you.
Well, we should be very concerned about this. We've seen the devastation that COVID-19 has created, and comparatively speaking, you know, that can be considered a relatively mild type of biowarfare agent. I mentioned earlier that they were working on Zika virus, and that family of viruses is far more dangerous and deadly. It attacks the central nervous system, the brain. It attacks pregnant women and their fetuses. It's a very dangerous virus. And as I mentioned earlier, just last year, they published an article of gain of function on one of these types of viruses. I can also tell you that there is a very active gain of function experimentation on influenza viruses. You may recall the bird flu, for example, a virus that went from birds or chickens to human and infected humans. They're doing very active program and gain of function on those types of influenza viruses. So, some of them have lethality rates of up to 60%. So this is a very deep and widespread problem. China is still, as we speak, very active in gain of function research. So everyone should be very, very concerned.
As Trump was getting closer then to the truth and actually called it out and said, let's peacefully, patriotically. And of course, they said, well, that was an act of war on the Capitol. It seems to me that's a little bit of a fishy area with Pelosi and all and everything that had happened there. That was a real problem. How does that fit into this, General McInerney?
Well, it was a setup, and they took advantage of it. That massive rally that President Trump had already, when you look at the time sequences, the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter people were already entering the Capitol while Trump, the MAGA crowd was down on the Ellipse. And then as things developed, you see in these videos that the police opened the gates to let them come in, and they set up. And then it, of course, got out of control, and you saw what you did. But it's kind of like the Reichstag fire that Hitler set and blamed it on the Jews before World War II. And this is the exact game plan that the Democrats used. And the only way we're going to save this is we the people. People like you, Malcolm, that let people like myself express it and let them know what the facts are and that it must be turned around. And if those state legislatures come back in and they, in fact, say what the actual vote was by doing the audits, then they'll have to be an electoral college reconvene. Now, the Democrats who control the House are not going to want to do it, but we the people are going to demand it. We want the facts out. Mm-hmm. We have never had an activity. It is the most dangerous threat to our entire republic that we have ever had.
So as promised, I wasn't kidding you. That was an incredible program. You want to listen to the full 2 hours on Monday on my daily program, The Voice of a Nation. Please, my fellow Americans, make sure you invite your friends, family, let them know. They really need to hear the full context of Colonel Lawrence Sellin. Obviously, we couldn't get this all in on Viewpoint. It's an extensive deep dive, 2 hours with him and General Tom McInerney. And also Mary Fannin joins us on that as well. So look forward to that on Monday on America Out Loud Talk Radio. And so now we're going to take a quick pause here and be back with Dr. Peter McCullough and talk more about the COVID and the latest disaster that's happening on the vaccine front. Well, there was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutloud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Back to Viewpoint this Sunday, and there's a lot happening on the COVID front as well, and because of that, I wanted to get a word in order to get Dr. Peter McCullough on here, because things are happening so fast in this particular field that, you miss a few days and you miss a lot. So as you know, Dr. Peter McCullough is an internist, cardiologist, epidemiologist, and clinical professor of medicine at Texas A&M College of Medicine, Dallas, Texas. You're hearing his voice all around the country. His program, the McCullough Report, can absolutely be heard here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Hear it on Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. I mean, he is really doing a job on that report, and the people he has on there, the conversations are incredible. There's an encore at 7 p.m. as well. Now, these are Eastern Time, so you can get all that scheduling back at AmericaOutloud.com. Let's start with this latest information, please. And this is quite revealing here with the vaccine business, the heart inflammation that's happening in the kids and the young adults. And it seems to be, under 24, 26, there's a record number of this happening. Tell us what's going on there, please.
Well, Malcolm, thanks for having me out. It's great to be back on the other side of the microphone. As a cardiologist, it's really been brought to my attention that there's great concern, probably the tip of the iceberg, on a complication after the COVID-19 vaccines, all of them, but particularly Pfizer and Moderna. We had reports coming out of Israel, California, Connecticut, and the U.S. military that there could be heart inflammation. We know that the vaccine injects either a RNA or DNA genetic material, it tricks the body into making the Wuhan spike protein. That protein is the target of bioterrorism research from the gain-of-function laboratory in Wuhan, China. So the body is getting exposed to a product of bioterrorism, and the human body, we know, produces this in an uncontrolled manner for about 2 weeks. What's probably happening in kids is they're producing so much of this spike protein, and for such a long duration of time, that there's heart injury. And so the CDC, they held an emergency briefing, which I attended, and they have a universe of at least 800 additional kids, of which they know 245 for sure. They have the EKGs, the cardiac blood tests, and the cardiac imaging. They know they've had heart damage, and at least in 20% of them, there is a reduction in heart function, so early heart failure. And the CDC house is on fire with this. They don't have the content experts in the room. They don't have the right laboratories, the right EKGs and studies, and parents are scrambling. 90% of these kids have been admitted to the hospital. And Malcolm, what that means is they need now 3 to 6 months of drugs to prevent heart failure and no physical activity. This is a huge issue for high school students, all the college students who are being mandated to take the vaccine, and the U.S. military.
In reality, wasn't a lot of this expected since, we've never rushed a vaccine to market like this in history. This has not been approved. It's an emergency use. And yet people are being coerced and tormented and traumatized. In fact, Dr. McCullough, I don't know if you've been in a restaurant lately, but you'll find half of the staff has the mask and half don't. You can actually know the political persuasion of people immediately by who, because what they're doing, all these corporations, restaurants, they're demanding you wear your mask if you don't have a vaccine, which is a whole nother set of problems, which really goes against people's rights, liberties, and but they're actually forcing it and making it happen. But what do you make of that? The fact that they're pulling out all the stops here to force that vaccine onto people.
I had a call today with some leaders in Germany, and I was shocked to find out they only have 18% of the German population fully vaccinated.
Wow.
Whereas here in the United States, we're at 50%. I always estimated we should only need to vaccinate maybe 20 million Americans, just the seniors and the nursing home workers and a few other high risk categories. Right. My fear was that because these vaccines did not go through safety testing, we don't know if they cause birth defects. We don't know if they cause cancer or related to cancer. We don't know where they go in the body and how long they last there. This is modified genetic material that codes for a product of bioterrorism. It's almost something out of a science fiction movie.
Right.
And now it's catching up with us. In the United States, we have over 5,000 Americans who have died within a few days of the vaccine. We've had 15,000 hospitalizations, and we have credible evidence that that's underreported by 10 to 20 fold. So there could be 50 to 100,000 Americans who have died after the vaccine.
And in your experience, any other vaccine or any other drug or medication like this that produced results like that, I would imagine they would have pulled that off the market.
It would have been pulled probably at about 50 deaths. Tucker Carlson, 2 weeks ago on his monologue, had all the data where, this COVID-19 vaccine has exceeded all vaccines together in all years in history in terms of the number of reported deaths afterwards.
Now, with this latest report of the heart inflammation and all that you're speaking about, are you anticipating more story? I mean, I'm just wondering now that we're getting to the point now where there's some time involved and the numbers are up there. Are we going to see more stories like this with different groups or problems where these things surface? Do you anticipate that with this? Or?
Yeah, I completely do. And in fact, today we've had a call from the evidence-based consultancy in the United Kingdom led by Dr. Tess Lowry, a very, very credible analyst group. They've recommended to the MHRA in the UK to go ahead and shut down the vaccine program. Their conclusion was the COVID-19 vaccines are not safe for human use. Today, the American Frontline Doctors Society came out with a recommendation to shut down the vaccine program. And I'm calling for a pause in the US program for individuals under age 30. Remember, young people have no opportunity to benefit from the vaccine. They have no clinical benefit, and there's only an opportunity for harm.
And just getting the information out to the people so they can make a wise decision. My fear is that a lot of people, like you said, good people are being caught in the crosshairs of this
media blitz campaign, and it's a fair campaign for a lot of people. Quite frankly, too, a lot of college kids are being threatened that they can't get into the universities. I mean, there people are really being really tormented here. And I know a lot of folks are struggling with what to do exactly. So it really is no laughing matter what's happening with this push of fear and this blitz campaign to vaccine. Do you think there'll be success with shutting this thing down based on all of this outreach? I mean,
yeah, I anticipate it. Well, I think this myocarditis may have been just the tipping point here.
Okay.
Parents are activated. The American Frontline Doctors Association now has a letter that parents can alter in the text that's indicated. That should go into the ombudsman's office as well as the compliance offices at universities. Because the universities do not have policies or exemption processes in place, there hasn't been internal due process. When they threaten students with a vaccine, that's actually intimidation or harassment.
Exactly.
And so that's what's been going on. So the universities are getting pounded. We've already seen LSU School of Dentistry back off, and they said they got a few of these letters and they backed off. We saw the LA Universal School District in Los Angeles go ahead and back off. And I think if the parents come in now and pepper these offices, which do have to evaluate all these complaints of harassment, I think they're going to quickly turn this around.
Yeah, this is so wrong on so many levels. Never seen anything quite like this, which leaves everybody a bit suspicious as what to really is going on, and plays on the bigger narrative we've been talking about here on Viewpoint as well. Let's discuss here. I've been seeing some reports lately, and tell me what's going on with this HCQ. All of a sudden, I'm seeing that because it was sort of quiet for a while, but now all of a sudden, I'm seeing that's back in some sort of people are outraged, or there's still a lot of censoring going on. What's the latest on why the big uprising all of a sudden about HCQ?
Well, there's tremendous suppression of hydroxychloroquine research in the literature, and the U.S. adopted a narrative really out of the National Institutes of Health that hydroxychloroquine didn't work. But in fact, that was the farthest thing from the truth. The U.S. was right by stockpiling hydroxychloroquine to begin with, and President Trump was right that hydroxychloroquine is a game changer. Doctors have stuck with it, including myself, all the way through the pandemic. I've used hydroxychloroquine almost every week through the pandemic as others were dissuaded from this. And then Dr. Steve Smith from the East Coast, a well-respected infectious disease doctor, came through with a blockbuster study showing that hydroxychloroquine in combination with other drugs in the hospital, in fact, dropped mortality massively. And I think that really pushed things over the edge. We've had a feature on this on the national news twice this week. I'll tell you that I'll be out with Sebastian Gorka on Sunday evening. And you know his booming voice, Malcolm. He will boom that he got COVID-19 in December. He took hydroxychloroquine and other drugs. He got through it using our multi-drug protocol. And he announces and he booms that he's not taking the vaccine because he's immune. And myself was on there with the former Department of Health and Human Services director who was pushing the vaccine. And it was such an interesting dynamic on TV.
Yeah, interesting. And, you know, as you know, Dr. McCullough, I went through the same experience and having had COVID now and took the HCQ, the hydroxychloroquine. I took ivermectin. I took the whole regimen of drugs and the program that you've really put out there nationally for the frontline doctors and all that have been following.
We crushed the curve at the end of December into January. Since that time, we've been on a low plateau. By the time we had crushed the curve, only 1.7% of Americans were vaccinated. The vaccine is not going to play any role in closing out this pandemic, but early treatment really spared American lives. We were on a track to have about 2.1 million Americans lost to COVID-19. It was cut short at about 600,000, which is still a tragedy. All those 600,000 lives, they did not receive early treatment. I hope that we don't have any more of those cases in the future.
Wow. Unbelievable. The censoring. Let's conclude here with the censoring and talk about now. We're seeing people. In fact, I just seen a report. I think last day or so being thrown off of YouTube. That's what it was, because of mentioning HCQ or other things. They're actually throwing more people off of YouTube. A couple of big names I had seen. Let's see if I can find it. But what's you yourself have been hit. Tell us what's the latest on the censoring front there.
Well, the listeners should know that there is overt censorship. So all the major media band together December 10th and formed the Trusted News Initiative, which is a euphemism for basically a censorship program. And that was designed to basically block any negative information on the vaccine, or really any safety information. So the public can never find out about any fair balance on the vaccines. And then Dr. Garth Graham, who's the medical director for YouTube, stated that he is going to, and did, actually purge all information on early treatment from YouTube to starve the viewers from any useful information on how to treat COVID, because it wasn't in line with the CDC, NIH, WHO, and FDA. Keep in mind, those agencies have done nothing for early treatment. They have no guidelines. So it's really up to the doctors. There is one organization, the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. That's a chartered organization that has early treatment protocols. There's an unchartered organization called the Frontline Critical Care Consortium, FLCCC. Well, it turns out FLCCC was the most heavily censored. They've been killed in all the different social media venues. Multiple YouTubes and other programs were taken down. We had the COVID-19 treatment Twitter, which was the one that myself and other doctors who testified in the Senate managed that account. We had really every single thing we put on there was evidence-based. It was referenced. It was cited in the National Library of Medicine. It was as tight as it could be. That was taken down. So there are operatives out there in different parts of the world. We think they're related to the vaccine cartel, and they are trying to basically crush any hope of treatment. They're crushing any fair balance information on vaccine safety in order to push mass vaccination on the world.
Now, listen, a big, big program and note to tell you about now. You just heard on the program today, Colonel Lawrence Sellin. He is remarkable, the work he's done. Of course, he's a research physiologist at the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, served in Iraq, Afghanistan. Dr. Sellin and Colonel Sellin, a decorated man, just terrific. He and also General Tom McInerney. They will be on The Voice of a Nation on that program on Monday. This is a must listen, and it's a must get it out there. You've got to get other Americans to pay attention here. So I can't stress that enough. So again, catch that Voice of a Nation Monday, 5 p.m. Eastern time now, 5 to 7. And there's an encore at 10 to 12 there on America Out Loud Talk Radio. My fellow Americans, there is a lot going on in from sea to shining sea. I'll tell you what, this is really a time to have all hands on deck. Thank you for being part of the mission here. And get back over to AmericaOutloud.com and share the truth. And thank you again for being on the journey. It's time to get involved and get loud.